Appreciate that last song that we just sang. It's interesting, that word hallelujah that we just repeated a number of times. Anyone know what that means, what the word hallelujah means? It's a Hebrew word. What's interesting, it's one of those words I think that's sort of passed into, you know, Christian language so much that we almost sort of, you know, we just speak it intuitively. But if you think about it, what it actually means is it's derived from a Hebrew word, the first part of which is hallel, which means praise. It's an address, and it's sort of an evocative imperative, praise, and then Yah, praise Yah, which is, of course, shortened form of Yahweh. So when you're saying hallelujah, you're saying actually praise Yahweh, which I think is interesting to know that reality. It's actually a personal spoken prayer of praise to God. So it's great to see all of you here this morning. I want to start by doing a couple things. I think as we start this membership class, one sort of goal that I really have is for us to get to know one another better. This is hopefully going to be a class that is not just going to be me kind of lecturing and sort of imparting wisdom and knowledge and information to you all, but a chance for all of us to contribute, to discuss, to weigh in as we talk about these different things. And I think part of that is going to be us being able to know one another. And so I just wanted to start this morning, if you guys would be. All right, I think that's everybody. I'm Josh. Everybody but me. As Amy said, we just showed up here fairly recently ourselves. We moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area in early August of this year. I grew up in Virginia. I'll probably say a little bit more in detail about my story, maybe not today, but maybe next week or the week after. I'm really grateful to be here. I went to seminary in St. Louis at Covenant Theological Seminary and graduated in 2008, and then served as an associate pastor at a church there for 6 years. So I was ordained in August 2008, about 6.5 years ago. And then over a process that I went through with the search committee and over the last year or so, I guess, the church voted to call me last May as the new pastor here to follow Dale Smith, and who was the pastor here for a number of years, almost 40 years actually. And that's one of the things we'll be talking about in this class, is sort of the history of the church. You can get a sense for some of that. And a large part of that is the story of Dale's ministry. And so really grateful to be here, be following him and his work in the church. So my family and I have been here since August. As Amy said, we have 3 children, Cale, Gillian, and Judah. And they are, the older two are in school. They go to school right over here at CCA, Covenant Christian Academy, which is the school where Shelley teaches and others are involved. And second and third grade is their grades over there. And then Judah is 4, and he's home with Amy most of the time, and I'm up here at the church. And, yeah, I guess that's all I'll say for now. I think that's probably enough to get us started. Well, like I said, I'm really grateful for all of you to be here, and especially those of you that aren't usually at Sunday school. It's wonderful to have you joining us for this class. Really glad for that. We're going to start by, I'm sort of old school. I've got handouts, so I'm going to help me learn. So this is, I'm going to start with this handout. It sort of hopefully will begin to give us an overview of the objectives that we have here for our class. Not so much today, but more thinking big picture. You know, what are the objectives, what are the goals for us as we go through this introduction to Colleyville Presbyterian Church class, which I'm obviously teaching for the first time. So this is a bit of a work in progress. It's going to be something that I'll be figuring out sort of how to do hopefully well, and hopefully think about, you know, what does that mean for the future as we teach future iterations of this class. We wanted to open this class up, obviously, not just to those of you that are either very recently new members or interested in membership, but also those of you that have been here for a number of years, because part of that's just a reflection that, in some sense, all of us are new. This is a new experience for everyone. because of my presence here as a new pastor, the change from Dale to me, because of the new folks that the Lord has given us over the last 6 months or so, the church body itself has changed a great deal. And so it's you know, in some sense, we're all new members of this body. And so it's a good experience for us to go through this together. All right, so here's some of the class objectives that I've got for us as we think about, probably I'm guessing the next 3 months or so as we go through this class together. So the first objective, and we'll begin to do some of this today if we have time, and that is to consider together the significance and the benefits of church membership. And so sort of just to think about, what does it mean to be a member in the church? What does it mean to be a member? What are the benefits of that? What are the things that God promises to you as you affiliate yourself with his body, not just here in this church, but generally? Specifically, what are some of the benefits of being a member here? You know, what are some of our desires for you as pastor and session and deacons in terms of ministry to you? But also think about the church sort of big picture, church membership. What does it mean to be part of the Bride of Christ universal? And what does it mean to be part of the Bride of Christ as it's expressed here in this local body, this very, in some ways, very, very small, right, piece of what is the much larger body of Christ that we participate in together as a body. So that's the first objective. The second objective here we're going to be working through is to begin to understand the history of Colleyville Presbyterian Church, of this body that was formed in the mid to late 70s and was located here, I believe, in 1978 in this locality, this place, moving from Irving, Texas. So understanding the history of Colleyville Presbyterian Church over the last four decades, as well as our denomination's history, which is called the Presbyterian Church in America. And I think it's important for us, as we think about who we want to be or who we are today as a body, to think about where we've been, what our past is, what kind of context that creates for us, you know, what are some of the advantages of that history, what are some of the challenges that come along with the history that we have. You know, the body of Christ is always being purified and being made more mature and holy, and that's certainly true for this local church, it's certainly true for our denomination, and it's certainly true and just in general in terms of the church in the world today. And so we'll talk some about that history that we share, and that if you choose to affiliate yourself with us, in some sense you're coming into and beginning to own that family history, right? You begin to own that story that existed before you got here, before I got here, and yet it's there, it's significant for who we are, and so that'll be part of what we do together. Want you to have a sense for the way in which Colleyville Presbyterian Church is governed and the rights and responsibilities of its members. And so this will be a little bit technical, but hopefully will be interesting to you. There, as I'm sure all of you are aware, that churches in this area and across, really across the world, govern themselves in different ways. Basically, they have different ways in which they make decisions, which they make judgments. And so our church is a Presbyterian church, is a part of the Presbyterian Church in America. We have a distinctive form of government, and I think it's important for you to understand that. Just simply stated, we're a church that is elder-led, so there's a plurality of leaders. I'm not the one that makes decisions. I'm on my own, and I'm grateful for that. But it is elder-driven, which means that every decision doesn't come to the congregation and is put to a vote. So the congregation elects representatives to help guide and make decisions. There are some decisions that are made by the congregation as a whole, but most of the decisions are made by a group of men that are called elders, of which I'm a part, but there are also our three other elders are here in the room, Jamie and Aaron and Lauren. So we'll talk some about that, how the church is governed, how those officers are elected, what does it look like. But also, what are the rights and responsibilities of membership? So we'll work through the membership vows that you will take if you decide to become a member here. You know, what do those vows mean? What are the implications of those things? But then also, so those are sort of the responsibilities. But then what kind of rights do you have as a member in this church? And it's important to say that there are the judgments that are made by the elders here are not without unquestionable, right? There's a process by which any decision that we make can be questioned. by a member of the body. And so we're accountable, actually, to you all and also to the larger body of churches around us, called the Presbytery, the local group of churches in this area that share in our denomination. And so we'll talk some about that, how that works, so that you have an idea. I think it's important for us as we come together to sort of work through those things and be aware of them. The fourth point I have here is that we'll discuss the meaning and the intention behind our pattern of worship. And this is certainly something that's distinctive, I think, about our church. You know, many churches today, when you show up, you will not, as I really appreciated James Madden pointing out last week, this is actually fairly distinctive in some ways, right? This is a maybe at first glance complicated liturgy, right? Series of words and prayers and songs and scripture readings that we go together each week as a church. And so we'll talk some about that. We'll talk some about why do we worship the way we do? Why do we start with a call to worship? Why do we have a confession of sin every week? Why do we always take the Lord's Supper when we meet together on Sunday mornings? You know, why do we end the service with a blessing, with a benediction? Why do we sing, right? What's the big deal about singing? Why don't we just talk to one another? And so we'll talk some about that, about our worship, its distinctives, maybe some of the intention that we have behind it, what we're trying to do with it, and also the sense of how it fits into the flow of the church generally, how I think our worship is actually connected to the church at large through the centuries and also today around the world. So that'll be something that we do. The fifth point that I have here is I want us to begin to talk about and understand some of the distinctive reform perspectives on salvation, on the means of grace, word, prayer, and sacrament, on the idea of Christian liberty, and the idea of the significance of life in the world. These are just some of the things. There are other things we could talk about, and other things we are talking about in terms of polity and worship. But these are some of the distinctive sort of reformed Presbyterian perspectives on things that I want to make sure that we talk about, just so that you're aware, that you know this is where we're coming from, this is where I'm coming from as a pastor, where your elders are coming from, as we think about these different topics. And those are just a few of them, right? So salvation, how we are made right with God, what is the perspective in this church on that question? What is our perspective on the means of grace, right? How do we believe that the Holy Spirit ministers to you as part of the body of Christ? How does the Spirit do that? What does it mean to have Christian liberty? What does it mean to have freedom in Christ to decide things in your life, right? Are we going to be a church that tells you, you know, what clothes you have to wear or what you have to do for a living or how you need to educate your children, right? Or is there liberty? Is there freedom in those questions? And then also this idea of what does it mean to have a reformed view of life in the world? And I think that's important because I want to, you know, as your pastor, I want to say that we don't think the only thing that matters is what happens when you're in this building, right? We think that what we're doing here should actually have an impact and influence the way that you live in the world because we think that's significant. We think that the work that you do matters. We think that the things that you do for enjoyment matter. We think that the way that you celebrate with one another matters. And so we'll talk about sort of that all-encompassing view of life in the world that will be sort of promoted here, and I think is something that's always been a reformed distinctive. All right, sixth point. We're getting close to the end here. I want us to have a sense for the present ministries of Colleyville Presbyterian Church, right? So what do we do as a body? How do we minister to one another? If you show up on Sunday morning, you'll begin to get a sense for what that looks like, right? At least during these few hours. But there are other things that are going on. There are other ways in which we minister to one another in the body of Christ. I'm sorry, that clock back there is really throwing me off because it says it's 9:05. I know that's not right. It's 10:16, okay. I guess it stopped. All right. So what are the present ministries of Colleyville Presbyterian Church? And, you know, what's going on already, right? We'll talk about some of the ministry of the women in the church and their organization and group. We'll talk about some of the stuff that we have for men, men of the covenant, other ministries, and just generally just talk about what's going on here. So talk about the various ways that you can expect to be ministered to. You can receive ministry from me as your pastor, from the elders, from the deacons, from others in leadership, from the women of the church that are in leadership, ways that you can expect to be ministered to, but also ways in which we're going to, if you decide to take this step of membership and affiliating with our body, ways that we're going to encourage you to think about ministering to others, right? Because we really do see this body as a place where hopefully you are being ministered to and cared for, but you're also caring for others. Not just because we think that's fair or something, but we actually think that's what we're all created to do, right? We're not just created to be served, but to serve. That's the pattern that Jesus gives for us, and actually is part of what it means for us to be fully human and redeemed, is to be part of that pattern. The next thing we'll do is a part of all this, and this will probably happen in some ways just organically as we're talking through these different topics, but also probably we'll spend a few weeks talking specifically about my philosophy of ministry as your pastor, my pastoral hopes for our future together as a congregation. And part of that's because I'm new, right? And I want to convey to you what my hopes are, what my sort of perspective is on ministry, on theology, on the Bible, on the Christian life, and what I'm going to be asking us as a congregation to do together. And honestly, just to be honest with you guys, that's very much a work in progress. This is all, as far as I'm concerned, right, like a first or second or third draft of that. And hopefully it'll continue to be refined and made better and more with more clarity in the months and years to come. So you're catching me very early on in these things. But I still think it's important for us to talk about that, right? Where are we going as a congregation? What's the goal? What's the idea? And then the last point I have here is just to get to know one another. And I really do hope that is the case. That's why I started off this morning by having us all go around and introduce ourselves to one another. I won't do that every week, obviously, but I do hope that we'll get to know one another's names, that we won't assume that everyone knows everyone. We'll realize that we are all in some ways new to one another, and that this will be a part of this process. And actually, part of that process, too, is I'm going to share with you in more depth about my own life and history and who I am, and I'm going to be asking some of our other leaders to do the same in the weeks to come, just so that you know those people that are part of this church, especially those that are in leadership. You have a sense for what you're getting into, and so to speak. But we also want to get to know you as well, obviously. All right, so that's a bunch of stuff. Maybe it's too much, I don't know. But what else? What else is there? Are there other questions or thoughts or topics that are not covered on this pattern that you guys might have? So how do you, that's a good suggestion. So how do we think about our own giftings that the Spirit has given us, and then how to use them in service to others? That's a great question. Yeah, I appreciate that. And that's perfect. That's what I'm looking for. I mean, this is a conversation. What else? Is there anything else on there that comes to mind that isn't on this list? Okay, well, I know that I'm sort of putting you on the spot. You just got this. But seriously, go home, and if you have time this week, think through the question. You know, probably many of you have been in new members' classes before somewhere else. And so if there's something that comes to mind that you don't know if I'm going to cover, or you're curious about, or you just have a question about, then please just let me know. I want this to be very, you know, transparent and open process as we think about what does it mean for us to join together as a body, and really would love your suggestions and input. So feel free to email me. My information's on the order of worship, and that'd be great. Any questions or thoughts about any of the stuff that I did mention? Well, I thought I would start this morning by beginning just to give you a little picture. I'll do a much more in-depth version of this in the weeks to come. But just to begin to give you a little bit of a picture for my own perspective as pastor and my hopes for us as a congregation. What does that look like? So here's the mission statement this is first draft. This is just me yesterday just sort of writing down some thoughts. You know, this hasn't been tested and talked to at the session. This just gives you a little picture of what I'm thinking, what I'm hoping for us as a church. So here's my mission statement for us as the church at Colleyville Presbyterian. It's pretty simple, right? It's three things. It's to love God, it's to love one another, it's to serve the world, okay? It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty basic. Here's what I mean by that. I think that when we gather on Sunday mornings, the primary thing that we are doing is learning to love God, right? We're learning to speak to Him, to pray to Him, to hear His Word, to hear Him speak to us. We're learning to sing to Him. We're learning what it means to acknowledge that we are sinners and need His forgiveness. We're learning to be confident of the love that He has for us and to love Him in return. And so in many ways, what we do on Sunday mornings in gathered worship is the heart of this idea of loving God, this thing that we're called to do as the church generally, but I think as the congregation here at Colleyville Presbyterian specifically. And that's meant to be a formative time, right? And it's meant to be something that carries out during the week, right? What we do here in worship on Sunday morning is intended to have effect for you throughout the week as you rise in your homes, as you get ready for your day, as you go to your work, as you do the things that you do throughout your day. Part of what we're asking you to do is to love God. And that embodies itself in different ways. It embodies itself in your attention to His Word. It embodies itself in your prayers to Him, right? It embodies itself maybe most particularly or most fully in some sense as you participate in the Lord's Supper here each Sunday morning as the body of Christ nourishes you. It's an act of love between you and God. But then that's not the only thing we want you to do, right? We're not just concerned that you would love God, but we also want us to be a church where we're loving one another. And so that is part of what it means as we go out and leave this place, right? I mean, that's happening here. That's happening in, you know, all the service that happens on Sunday morning, on the Sunday school teachers right now that are loving us and loving our children by giving of their time to teach. It happens by people that come early to get communion straight and to fold the bulletins and do everything that has to take place for this church service to happen. You know, those that help lead music and all that kind of stuff, right? That's all part of what it means for us to love one another. But then that also continues throughout the week, right? We're called to serve one another, to love one another, to know one another. That's a big part of what I'm hoping for us as the body here, is that we will increase in our community and friendship with one another. And I know that there's a challenge with that because of, partly just because of the place where we are, right? This Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, right? That is, like 100 miles from one end to the other or whatever. And I know that we have people that aren't quite that far apart from one another, but you know, in some sense, not much less than that. And so we draw people from all over the metroplex in some sense. And of course, our base here is in the mid-cities area, but we pull from Dallas, we pull from Fort Worth, and so there are challenges with that. But I do think that part of what we're called to be as the body of Christ are to be people that loves one another. And so we have to know one another. We have to be in one another's lives in some sense. And that can happen. You know, I saw there's a great example of this that happened just this past week when Naomi Martin, this past Sunday. I'm going to maybe put you on the spot, Jeremy. But there's this great, I don't know if any of you are friends with Naomi on Facebook, but she just sort of put this message about how the Martins were having a rough morning and they had some sickness. And it was beautiful for me as a pastor, one, to see Naomi express that sort of need, but then to see the following comments that came and different members of our body sort of trying to get in each other's way to help the Martins and bring them a meal, right? It was awesome. As a pastor, you know, just see this thing happen organically. You know, there's no committee that set this up. Naomi just put something out there, and all of a sudden several families are sort of jumping in and saying, how can we help? Can we bring you a meal? Can we, you know, what? And I think several people did come by, right, this past week. Is that right? Yeah. And to serve the Martins that way. So that's part of what it means. That's loving one another, right? That's the body of Christ. And that's the kind of thing that I'm hoping will happen. That happens in other ways, too. That happens, you know, in the women's Bible study on Thursday mornings as we get to know one another and study the Word together. That happens in Men of the Covenant meetings and other meetings that happen throughout the week as we encourage one another in prayer, as we hear one another's burdens and share them together. And that's part of what we're called to be as the body of Christ. It's not simply loving God, right, in isolation, but it's also loving one another in a community. And the third point here, to serve the world. And I think maybe this is part of maybe some of the distinctives of what you might, the rhetoric you might hear at Colleyville. Because we are part of a tradition that says, when we say serve the world, we're not just talking about you going and preaching the gospel in Africa or Asia or Europe or wherever, right? We're not just saying, and if you are called to do that, right, that's awesome. And we think missions is important. We support missionaries, right? Some of the money that you all give in tithes and offerings is then given away to missionaries that are preaching the gospel with their lives overseas. We think that matters. You know, Bob Peck has been recently, last several years at least, maybe more than that, down to Peru with Peru Mission, which is a great ministry. But we don't think that serving the world is only found in preaching the gospel explicitly. We think that each of you, every man and woman and child in this congregation, have been given gifts, right, by the Spirit. And you've been given those gifts to serve, primarily, to serve others. And that's what we mean by the world. We mean, of course, this body, in some sense, but we also mean more than that. We mean your neighbor, right? We mean the world generally, as you participate in, as, you know, as Dan flies the plane and gets people where they need to go safely. I mean, that's serving the world, right? And we could go around each person, right? John and Carrie, as they serve as nurses in the hospital system in Fort Worth. I mean, there are so many examples, right, of this in our life. The moms here that stay home with their children and care for them in such loving and patient ways. This is what we mean. This is serving the world, right? And this is what we're called to do. We're called to love God, to love one another, but then to serve. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the reason that we're called to do this is because this is what we see in the pattern of, that Jesus sets for us, right? Jesus himself said he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we're not able, we're not the Redeemer, we're not able to give our lives as ransom for others in the same way, but we are able to give ourselves in service. And united with Christ, there is a sense of redemption that comes, I think, through our service. So that's just sort of big picture, my kind of mission statement, my hope for us as a church. Any thoughts about that? I appreciate that, Martha. That's great for me to hear you say that. And as Martha's saying, this is, and that's something we should say up front. You'll hear me say this again and again, and that is that you don't have to be a Presbyterian, in some sense, to be a member at Colleyville Presbyterian Church, which is, I think, one of the great blessings of Presbyterianism, is that we don't require any doctrinal commitments beyond faith in Jesus, and just a very basic sort of commitment to Nicene and creedal orthodoxy, belief in the Trinity, belief in the incarnation of Jesus, those kinds of things, his salvation or his gift for us and salvation. But we're not going to ask you that whether you know, you have to believe in infant baptism. We're not going to say you have to believe in different other distinctives of Reformed theology. And obviously, we're going to present those. We think that those distinctives are correct and a right interpretation of the Scripture. But the gate here is, and we're to talk about this in a minute, or maybe next week at the rate we're going. But you know, all that's required is a profession of faith for membership here, and nothing more, nothing more. And that's all that's required. So I appreciate that. And we think there is diversity is important. And this is something, you know, I was upfront with about with the search committee, and as I came and candidated last spring with the church. And I think this has been a hallmark of Pastor Dale's ministry when he was here as the lead pastor. That my goal is for us to be committed to the Reformed heritage that we have. Right, the history that we have, I think it's important, I think it matters, I think there are good reasons to believe what we do about the Scriptures, but to hold to it in as non-sectarian a way as possible. And what I mean by that is to acknowledge that we are part of a larger body of Christ that is not just Presbyterian, and to say, you know, we're all on the same team, right? We're on the same team as the Colleyville Baptist, right up the road on 26, right, the Methodists, those that are around us. We're working together, and so I want this to be a place where we speak well about other churches, right? We talk about the things that unite us much more than the things that separate us, and I think that's important. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Martha. We're not looking for sort of, you know, monolithic church members here. that I'll speak and think and act the same. What else? Any other thoughts or questions just about that very simple mission statement? Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great point. All right, so let's talk about that too. So what are, not right now, but in the future. So we do belong to a denomination, and we think that that's good. We think that, you know, you don't have to belong to a denomination to be part of the Church of Christ, but we think that there are a lot of benefits from it. And actually, it's a good expression of the sort of picture of the church that we see in the New Testament especially. And so we're part of this denomination called the Presbyterian Church in America, which is a good denomination. It's not perfect. There are challenges, there are flaws, you know, there are issues, but I think it is a faithful part of the body of Christ. And part of that what means is that we belong to an institution that has different institutional wings. And so some of the agencies, what we call the agencies of the PCA, our denomination, are things like Mission to the World, which Joe just mentioned, which kind of oversees all the different missionaries that we have around the globe, preaching the gospel to people that need it, that need to hear it. We also have an agency called Mission North America, which oversees church planting in the United States and Canada, and oversees sort of domestic missions, essentially. So those that are called to be missionaries and start churches in new places here in this country. We have an organization called Reformed University Ministry that is, you all have heard in the last few months, several ministers with that organization. Ryan Anderson, who's at Texas Christian University. I actually visited Ryan this past week and spent an afternoon with him, just tour the campus, the first time I'd seen TCU, and just kind of hear about his ministry and his family, that kind of thing. So that was great. And Ryan here preached here in October. He's an old friend of mine from seminary. So Ryan is a campus pastor at Texas Christian University on behalf of our denomination. James Madden, who was here last week preaching for us, is in the process of being ordained as a pastor officially, and he ministers to the campus at Southern Methodist. That's another minister. And so I appreciate Joe bringing that up. So that's something we will definitely talk about, the agencies of the PCA that we support. Okay. All right. Well, we only have about 8 minutes, so we'll just begin to get into this. And maybe get to talk about some more next week. But again, this is just starting big picture, and then we'll kind of work out the implications of this as we go. So if our mission statement as a church, or at least my mission statement as your pastor that I'd love for us to be about, is to love God, to love one another, and to serve the world, then the question is how? How do we do that? So here's this, again, just sort of a first draft, kind of, you know, thinking about this yesterday and putting some words on paper. So how do we do this? I said, we do it by living with grateful hearts in response to our identity as God's beloved and forgiven sons and daughters, by trusting in the person and work of Jesus as we follow after his example in giving ourselves for others, empowered by the Holy Spirit as he ministers to us in word, prayer, and sacrament, especially in gathered worship, as well as in our daily lives, and all in the context of a sacred community. Both local and universal around the world. And so just to unpack that a little bit, you know, essentially what I'm trying to do there is just sort of encapsulate what I think it means for us to be the body of Christ here together. I've said to you, I think in one of the early letters I wrote to the congregation, that two of the phrases that I want you to hear from me most frequently are, on the one hand, you are the beloved. We're going to talk about that some today. In the sermon this morning, as we talk about the baptism of Jesus. But that's part of who we are, right? We have to live out of that identity as the beloved sons and daughters of God, those who have been created by him in love, called to him in love, that have been forgiven by him of their sins, that stand boldly before him. And that's the root, right? That's the starting point. That's who we are fundamentally. But then we're also, so the second phrase that you actually often hear me saying, I want you to hear me saying at least, is what does it mean for us to follow Jesus together, right? Because Jesus and God did not just express his love to us in Jesus, in Christ, to communicate to us that we're loved. Of course, that is the basis, that's the fundamental truth. But he also gave us a pattern for our lives. He asks us to move forward into greater and greater glory, right? Ever-increasing degrees of glory, as Paul puts it in Corinthians. To trust him more and more fully, right? To give ourselves over to him more and more completely. Because he doesn't just want a part of us, right? God wants all of us, all of ourselves to be given to him. And because he loves us, because he's called us to himself in love. And so we follow after Jesus' example by trusting in him, by emulating his trust in the Father, right? The trust that Jesus had in God the Father. And then following him and giving ourselves to others, which is itself an act of service, right? Or act of trust. You know, when you love other people, you make yourself vulnerable. You put yourself at their mercy to some extent. And you're only able to do that if you have confidence that God is, has loved you first and he is with you and will protect you. And we don't just do this in our own strength, I think it's important to say. Right? We don't just do it, I don't just stand up here and sort of tell you to grit your teeth and go back this week and maybe the sermon will be inspirational enough for you to, you know, be convinced that you should do it for a few more days. But we do it by the power of the Spirit. Right? That's the thing that empowers all of this, that makes it all work. And we believe that the Spirit ministers to us specifically through the means of grace that he's given us in the Scriptures, and the Word that does not return void, but is made effective and powerful by the work of the Spirit, by prayer, which is the pattern we see all throughout Scripture, our words spoken to God as individuals and also as a body. And the Spirit works through that in some mysterious ways, both in terms of hearing our prayers, right? God hears our prayers and acts on them, we believe, but also something happens to us as we pray. Right? We're shaped and formed. Jesus was someone who prayed regularly, all the time, by himself, right? As well as with his disciples. And that shape that formed him, that shapes and forms us. And also the sacrament. We are a church that believes in the sacraments are important, that they're significant, that there are gifts of God given to us. We'll this morning have the benefit of experiencing both sacraments, sacrament of baptism, as we baptize some of our newest members, Emma and Audrey Geltz. But also as we commune together at the Lord's table, as we're united to one another and united to Christ and his body and blood, as we are nourished by that, by the power of the Spirit. So all this happens, especially here in gathered worship, right? This is the starting point, but then it flows out. It goes out into the world, into our daily lives. And it happens all in the context of a sacred community. And I use that word sacred specifically because it means it's another way of saying holy. And it's interesting, I think the word holy sometimes gets bad rap, maybe just a truncated idea of what it means to be holy, right? To be holy does mean certainly to be without, you know, as we think about God and his holiness, that he's without sin, that he is pure. But that's not the only thing that holy means. Holy also means to be set apart, right? To be dedicated, to be set apart. It's a good way of putting it. And so when I say that we're a sacred community, I mean that we are the ecclesia, right? We're the ones that have been called out for a purpose. We've been set apart. We're sacred in that sense. And all we do, in some sense, is sacred because of that. So we're doing all this in the context of a called out, a set apart community that is called to give itself for the world, both here, right? Again, to emphasize that point again, here locally at CPC, but on the Mid-Cities area, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but also as a part of a community in this area and around the world that has also been called out that we're a part of, local and universal. All right, any questions about that before we wrap up here this morning? Okay. Well, hopefully that kind of gives you all a good overview of where we're going. This is class. I'm really, again, really pleased to see so many of you here. It really is encouraging to me and I know to others. I hope that you'll continue to walk with us through these things. I hope there'll be a benefit to all of us, new and old, as we talk about these realities and what it means for us to be the body of Christ here at Colleyville. Let's stand together and close with prayer. Lauren, would you pray for us to close us?